It's so important to understand the steps to take to get closer to your dream and your goals, but it's also very important to identify those steps that will delay you or detain you from reaching those goals as well.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Teaches Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota where we teach and inspire with our clients true wealth. We believe that true wealth comes from impacting others and leaving a legacy. What a better time to do that than in retirement. That's what we're all about. If you want more information on our firm, just check out our website, teachesfinancial.com. Well, on this episode of Repurposed, I'm chatting with a Dave Ramsey personality and best-selling author, Chris Hogan. Chris is a big guy, literally and figuratively, and you're going to find that out right away when you hear his voice in this episode of Repurposed. We talk about one of his books, Retired Inspired, and we also talk about the process of starting with a dream and ending with a goal. And we also talk about the four types of people that everyone should have in their lives to be the best that we can be and have the most impact on other people. Here's my chat with Chris Hogan. All right, so excited. I've got Chris Hogan on the line. Chris, thanks so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule and joining me here on the podcast today.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I know you get this all the time, and I'm sure you're sick about talking about this, but we've just got to discuss your voice for a second. How does one get your voice? Is it too late for me?
Well, listen, I can tell you, I don't know where this voice came from, but around age 13, it started squeaking and changing, and lo and behold, this is what I ended up with.
Do you get asked to like sing it on choruses and stuff? What's up?
People do. They think because my voice is so deep, they think I can sing. And I caution them that no, I can hum. That's about all I can do.
People have to be intimidated. By the way, we met back in 2011 briefly. I'm sure you remember that, Chris, right?
Okay. But no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I was intimidated, you know, there, and now we're probably like 10 states away at this point. I'm still a little intimidated. When you start talking, do people kind of take a step back? Is that
people
common?
Definitely. When I open my mouth, people definitely take a step back, and they want to see where is this noise coming from. But then they know. They know everything I'm talking about. It's in a way to help people, to try to motivate and help them to drive for better.
That's right. He's not going to hurt me. Physically.
No, never.
Well, let's talk about your book, Retired Inspired. It came out January of 2016. What's been the success of the book so far? Number one bestseller. Tell us about it.
Well, the book has done really well. Really where it stemmed from, Jared, was I was a financial coach. Let me back up a little bit further than that. I spent 12 years as a banker. I owned a mortgage company, went into wealth management, and then connected with Dave almost 12 years ago and came in here as a financial coach. So I was sitting down with people, helping them understand how money works. And I can tell you, as I was coaching people over those 6 years, I realized people weren't prepared. Yeah. They thought the government was just going to take care of them down the road. And I was trying to shed light on this, and I got scared looking at this, not only for other people, but then I started thinking, okay, for myself, I know how money works, but am I doing everything I need to do? Are all my I's dotted and T's crossed to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do for my family? And so my book, Retire Inspired, was essentially a way to coach people right in their family room, right in their living rooms, on the things they need to be aware of when it comes to retirement and the steps to take.
I like the book too. I've read it. It's phenomenal. And it's not just for people like 65 and older, right?
No, not at all. And that was one of the things, my goal was if I could get millennials, if I could get 20-somethings to really plug in and understand how to make some financial things work for them early on, it actually will set them up to be able to do more of what they want to do later in life.
Yeah, and that's definitely the key. Do you think people really understand how they may or may not be prepared, that the years that you've worked with people, did they know that they were in a situation, or are people kind of just kind of oblivious to the fact that they might not be as prepared as what they perhaps think they are?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of both. I think you got people that don't know, and then you have people that have this awareness, but they don't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
And so essentially my goal in writing the book, Retire Inspired, was to be able to lay it out, regardless of if you are 21 and starting your first job, or if you are 71 and you're trying to get your hands around this topic. I wanted to put the information in a way that everybody could take something from it and immediately start to take action.
I really like chapter two. You have chapter two titled Dreaming in High Definition. And then you go on to tell this story about how this couple came to you for some coaching and they were totally prepared financially, but they wanted to know how they can make an impact. And you coach them through this. And I'm going to read this right out of page 28 out of your book. I was witnessing this couple live a dream retirement. I love that statement. They weren't only living out their dreams. They were enriching the lives of as many people as they could. Is that not like exactly what you want for people in retirement and pre-retirement?
Oh, I mean, that is. I mean, it literally was this dream retirement.
Yeah.
I mean, as you sit there and you could see their hearts, they had a lot of charities, a lot of things that they cared about that they wanted to be a part of. And for them, it wasn't a matter of wondering or guessing what to do, where they could donate money, but they could also donate their time.
Yeah.
You know, they had earned the right to get to this level to where they could be involved where they wanted to be involved. And you could just see the sense of joy on their faces. And I know that they're going to make an incredible impact on their community, but also their section of the country.
Yeah, yeah. And that stems to everybody. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a talk we have with, you know, high school kids and
yes,
young adults, like live a life of service and giving. That's where you really find that true fulfillment, especially when it comes to retirement, right?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because I'm firmly believe that when you give, it's a two-way blessing.
Yeah.
You bless the person that receives it, but you also get blessed yourself. It's incredible. I think we're all built to serve. I think we all, that's why we have these passions.
Yep.
That's why we have these things that we have these heartfelt feelings about. And we don't mind getting in and being involved with senior citizens or with kids or single moms or whatever those things are. And I think we could be a better world if we were all doing more of those things.
Definitely, especially baby boomers. There's so many baby boomers that are retiring. These people, like my generation needs these people. You know, I'm 38, 39 years old, and the millennials, they need that generation. So if you're in that generation listening to this, please take heed to this message of service, because speaking from my own personal development, I need your generation to sow into us, right?
You're absolutely right. I mean, if you think about it, you know, for me growing up, one of the best things that I used to do with my family was we spent time together.
Yeah.
You know, we spent time. We talked about stories. We showed photos. And spending time to me is one of those valuable assets. And we need, you're absolutely right, from traditionalists to baby boomers, we need to make sure that we're helping this younger generation grow up and understand the values, to help them understand what a good life looks like and what hard work really means.
Yeah, love it, love it. Let's talk about Entree Leadership. By the way, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not listening to Entree Leadership or Retired Inspired podcast with Chris Hogan, you need to start. And, you know, full disclosure, I'm not a business owner. I'm part of a small business, but I love listening to this podcast just because it deals with so much. There's so much overlap between, you know, business and just personal development. Chris, I'd love to walk you through some of your teachings when it comes to Entree Leadership, especially when you start talking about starting with a dream and ending with a goal. You say start with a dream. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is, especially with through the lens of Entree Leadership, which is essentially blending the entrepreneur spirit through the leadership spirit, and all of us are leaders, first and foremost. It doesn't matter your title. It doesn't matter your position. All of us have an opportunity to be a leader right where we are. And so for leaders to make sure that they're helping their team members truly understand how to define goals. For me, coming up in a sports background, I was introduced to goal setting relatively early. And as I got into the college world, I got to understand how that happens more often than not for people that are planning. And so for any leader out there or any individual that is working in a career or any kind of job path, really understanding what it is you're trying to accomplish is essential to what you're doing each and every day. And your actions and your words every day impact what it is you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
Everything we do is on focus. And so what we need to do is make sure we're putting our best foot forward and impacting as many people as we can.
Somebody comes up to you and says, I just really don't know what it is that I want. I'm having trouble defining that dream. What would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them from the retirement lens and just in life, yeah. I would start off having a conversation about what do they do for fun?
Yeah.
You know, what do they do that they enjoy? What do they do for fun? Mm-hmm. What brings them the most joy?
Yeah.
And then I would shift from those three areas to start to look at their talents. What are things that they do that come easy to them that may not for others? You know, or what are some things that people have complimented you about, you know, that you do really, really well?
Yeah.
I would start in those two phases to help people start to develop that. And I would, first of all, Jared, help them to understand it's okay if you don't know what it is right now. What we want to do is start to zero in and gain more of an understanding for yourself so you can move forward with confidence.
Where does passion fit? Because people talk a lot about passion. Where does, you know, in your kind of equation to get going down this road, where does passion fit in with joy and talents, like you mentioned?
I firmly believe that passion is that secret sauce for anything that stands for something.
Yeah.
To me, it's one of those things where you bring it, and a lot of people do it, and they're not even aware of it.
Huh.
When you find somebody that is working in an area that they love, they're doing it, and they would do it even if they weren't getting paid because
yeah.
they care about it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing where your heart gets happy. I mean, for me, I travel all around the country speaking to people, speaking to companies, and to see that group and to watch the light bulb go off as they hear information, that for me is crucial. And so I know my job is to bring passion. What I mean by that is that I care about what it is I'm talking about, and I care about who I'm talking to.
Which goes right back to the service aspect. It's like when you're giving of yourself, whether that's in a personal way or a business aspect, it seems like that flow outward is almost, well, it's just as important or as important as what's coming in and defining who you are, right?
I would agree. Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those things where internally, when people can like to be around passionate people,
yeah.
you know, people want to be around people that care about it. And even if their opinion is different than yours, they can listen to you just because you are being authentically yourself. And that's one of the things that I've encouraged people to do is just make sure you're always remaining authentically yourself.
Yeah.
Don't try to pretend to be someone else. Be you, but let's become the best version of you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. You talk about transitioning from dreams to a vision. What do you mean? What does vision mean for a dream?
Well, I think, you know, dreaming is understanding what it is you'd like to accomplish, but the vision is where you start to actually see yourself there.
Yeah.
That's where the rubber meets the road. I think that's where you start to take action. It's so important to understand the steps to take to get closer to your dream and your goals, but it's also very important to identify those steps that will delay you or detain you
right.
from reaching those goals as well.
We always say that you could tell a lot about a person by taking a look at two things, how they spend their time and how they spend their money. And there's a lot of truth in that, isn't there?
Yes, it really is. But I want to encourage people out there just to start to think different.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what you come from.
Yeah.
I'm a little country boy from Kentucky, but I had a family that loved me and encouraged me. And so being around those family members, my teachers, my coaches, and good friends, surround yourself with people that are focused on accomplishing something and watch what happens. You know, it changes the way you think. It changes the way that you dream and that you dare to speak bigger and bolder for yourself and your future.
Yeah, amen. Next step would be your mission statement. You know, how important is it to actually come up with a personal mission statement? Again, we could talk about business, but just personally, like, is this something that you put down on paper? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you can. I think a mission statement is essentially like guardrails on a highway.
Yeah.
You know, the goal of the guardrails is to keep everybody on track. And I think a mission statement clearly identifies for a business or an individual who you are.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want your life to be about? What are the things you're going to stay committed to? And I would encourage people to take time to write it down, because when you do that, it helps you to stay crystal clear on the things I need to do versus the things that I'm not going to do. For example, my own personal mission statement is to educate and encourage and empower as many people as possible. And that's in the area of finances as well as leadership. And so that clearly defines for me who I am and what I'm going to do. So that doesn't mean that I'm going to go start a career in singing or anything like that. I need to use the talents that I have, and that's this voice.
Kind of goes back to, you know, our discussion on dreams and how to define that, you know, joy, talents, passions. But, you know, we've come across people, and I'm sure you have too, that struggle with this aspect, you know, defining their purpose, which I think can be kind of overblown. I think people can overthink this a little bit. Like, what if somebody comes up to you and says, Chris, I just can't really figure out my purpose and my mission statement. I don't even know where to start. I don't want to re-ask the question, you know, from dreams, but how would you address that?
Well, I would sit down. I'd really, you know, talk with them and figure out kind of where they've been. Yeah. What are some things they've walked through? You know, people, life happens. Yeah. You know, there are tough spots out there. People are working in jobs they don't care about, or they're having a tough time in some relationships. But what I want them to do is understand that's a snapshot. You know, whatever that tough thing is a snapshot of one thing that doesn't encompass their whole life. And so I would then go back to their joy, their passion. What do they do for fun? What do they do to get recharged? What are some talents that they have? And I would begin to kind of coach them to kind of walk through this process of identifying, hey, you've got a great opportunity. Each and every day that we wake up, we have an opportunity to maximize that day and improve on our yesterday. Yeah. And so I would help that individual just start to think a little bit different, start to count your blessings instead of counting the mistakes, and starting to focus on things a little bit differently.
Yeah, I hear you. Next step would be actually defining goals, things to work for. You talk about four key people that are important: coaches, mentors, cheerleaders, and friends. Can you break each one of those down briefly? Start with the coach.
I sure can. Well, I think we all need people in our lives. I don't think life is meant to be done alone. But looking back for myself, the people that have been the most instrumental to me outside of family have been coaches. And a coach is somebody that wants you to get better, whether it's in sports or music or even in your job. They just push you. You know, a mentor is someone that is having success in some area where you can sit down with them, and it doesn't have to be in your same job or same career field. It's just successful people have some habits. And so getting around a good mentor is very, very, very crucial. A cheerleader, well, this is somebody that wants you to win. Yeah. You know, that can be family members. It can be your spouse. But it is just someone that believes in you and believes in what you do. And they're your fans. Yeah. And then finally, a friend. I think a friend is crucial, where you can be real with them. You can talk about the things that are giving you trouble. You can talk about things that you're scared of or afraid of, or that you're really walking through in life. Yeah. And I think utilizing those four people will really help give someone a well-balanced kind of approach, not only in life, but also in their career.
If you don't mind me asking, who's your friend and cheerleader and mentor and coach?
Oh, my gosh. I can tell you. Well, I mean, one of my coaches, obviously, is Dave Ramsey. Yeah. Dave has been an incredible advocate for me and has been a mentor. He served in two roles. Yeah. I've got a gentleman here named Jeremy Breland, who is essentially like my agent, where we talk about things. And he is a good coach for me as I walk through and develop new talks and new content and book ideas. My cheerleader is my wife. Yeah. My wife and my mom, they're my cheerleaders. Those are people that are pro Chris and behind me 100%. And I've got, golly, probably six good friends you know, we are separated by some distance with four of them. But we pick up the phone once a week and we talk. Mm-hmm. And we spend about 45 minutes and we talk about family. We talk about what's going well, what are some challenges, and what are things that we can be praying for each other for. And so I live this stuff. I have those people around me because, as I said before, life is not meant to be done alone.
Yeah. It's almost like having those different circles. You've kind of got your different roles for different people, but each are going to be just as important as the other. Let's talk about leading with goals. You talk about, you know, again, before we can even start going down this path, like describing where it is that we want to end up. But you talk about following God's plan too, you know, not to make this a sermon, but, you know, speak into that just a little bit. You know, we have kind of our plan for our life, but really we need to follow, you know, God's plan too. Talk into that just a little bit.
Well, I think, you know, when you talk about following God's plan for your life, I think it's a matter of really understanding where you are right now is not the end. Yeah. There's better is available. But I think one of the things that I did early as a professional is I was so busy chasing the next thing, I forgot to understand that I needed to maximize this thing. I needed to look at where I was and the opportunities to impact people and to learn. but to also stay plugged into the big man. You know, he is for us. He's not against us. And I think you, when you start to understand your talents, that it's not something that you've earned the right, but it was something that was given to you. And I think the more we step into those talents and use them to the best of our ability, we can actually serve more people, but we can have a healthier, more fulfilled life as well.
Totally. Yeah, it's kind of tapping into that kind of God-given talent and purpose. And then, yeah, and it's exactly right with the retirees that we work with. If you can kind of coach them into that, and then they tap into that, boy, that's where the fulfillment, contentment really starts to flow out of a life, kind of like what you talked about in chapter two of your book.
It really will. And it's one of those things, as we talked about those four people, the coach, the mentor, the cheerleader, and the friend. Yeah. Those are people we need regardless of our age or stage in life. Yeah. So I really want to encourage your listeners out there to make sure if you don't have people in those roles for you, then find them.
Definitely.
But more importantly, make sure you're serving as one of those roles for other people at some impact or some point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Legacy. We'll kind of wrap up with this legacy piece here. That's a huge piece of the message that we preach. We love, you know, the fact that we have an opportunity to leave a lasting impact. Legacy is kind of a buzzword right now. How would you define legacy?
Well, I would define legacy as essentially two ways. Number one, your own personal legacy. I think that's how you impacted people. How did people feel around you? Did people feel like you believed in them, that you cared, that you took time to spend? And then there's the second side of legacy, which is the financial side. That's for me is I didn't come from a whole lot of money. I came from a family of a whole lot of love. But what I want to do is set up a structure to where I impact my kids' kids' kids financially down the road. And so that's me being aware that one day that my great-great-grandkids, you know, will think back on me and think fondly of my wife and I for the things that we did to set them up to have better in their lives.
Yeah. Is it too late? I mean, I'm kind of throwing you a meatball here to knock out of the park, but, you know, I've sat down, you know, kneecap to kneecap with 50 to near 60-year-olds, and they've kind of looked at me, you know, talking about legacy, and they think, well, it's kind of too late. What do you say to that?
Well, I would tell them absolutely not. Yeah. You know, I think if anyone's in their 50s or 60s, they've definitely taken time to pour into people's lives or they've made an impact on people's lives. What I would do is get them to kind of step back and think of the people, you know, that they've interacted with. Think of the coworkers. Think of the, you know, the people at the truck stop or the people in a store. You know, I think legacy is bigger than just financial, right. But it's being aware. It's being aware that even if you're in your 50s or 60s, just like I tell people, it's never too late to start dreaming, and it's definitely never too late to start planning. When you start to look at legacy, it's a matter of understanding I need to utilize the time, the resources, and talents that I have right now in this day. Let's not allow another day to slide by without us being very intentional in how we spend our time, but also in how we spend our money.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head using that word intentional. I think that's something that we need to think about. Some people I've heard say, like, you know, I'm just not going to leave one. And I'm like, well, you will leave a legacy. It's just depending on, is it the legacy you want to leave and are intentionally trying to leave? So again, I think you nail it on the head there with the word intentional.
Yeah, I think it's definitely about being intentional, but it's also, let's not forget, it's about relationships.
Right.
And so if someone's out there and they're in their 50s or 60s and they know a relationship is strained or it's not where it needs to be, pick up the phone, you know, have a phone call. It is never too late to apologize for a mistake that was made, and I don't care how long ago, but just connect.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what can happen. You know, other people are able to forgive. What we first have to be able to forgive ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so being intentional about that and having those conversations or asking for forgiveness can heal some wounds for individuals.
Definitely. Last question here, Chris, and I'll let you get off the line. What is Chris Hogan's legacy?
Wow. Well, I can tell you my legacy is twofold. I'll start with the relationship side. Obviously, with the family that I come from, I look at it that they passed me a baton and my job was to run my race and to pass it on to my three boys. They're 12, 11, and 10, so they are definitely my legacy. But then the financial side of things is just being able to connect to help communities and charities out there that my wife and I support and truly believe in.
Yeah, definitely. And leaving an impact that'll outlive you. I think that is just to keep your eyes focused on that. That is a cool way to look at life. You know what I mean?
It really is. It really is. And just regardless of where you are, that you still have an opportunity this day to start one moving forward. So it's never too late.
That's right. That's right. Chris, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. Before you take off here, where can people find you? What do you want people to tap into when it comes to Chris Hogan?
Well, they can find all things related to me on my website at chrishogan360.com. They can find information on there about the podcast, which we're having a blast with, by the way. But also anything social media. So would love to connect with them. And I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me
Absolutely.
Today.
I'll put everything in the show notes. I'll make sure people know exactly where to find you online and on the interwebs. So, Chris, thanks so much. Thanks for not chewing me out too bad with that voice.
Hey, buddy, it was good to spend some time with you.
Okay, thanks, Chris. I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Chris Hogan. What a voice and what a guy. You know, one of the words I kept hearing used over and over again was this word intentionality. And I think being intentional is the key with so many things, especially when it comes to living with purpose and impact. You know, things just don't happen on their own. We don't become the best parent or grandparent or spouse we can be without being intentional about growing in those areas. Our relationship with God doesn't just grow on its own. We've got to put in the time, read, pray, and again, be intentional in those areas. Big thanks to Chris Hogan for this interview. If you're not familiar with Dave Ramsey and some of the other fine folks on his team like Chris, I encourage you to check out his website at daveramsey.com. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tejas called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of this book totally free, you can go to our website, tejasfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift just for listening here today. Also, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed.